Is it time already? No? Can I borrow one of these? Okay, thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you, Brother Donald. Does it work? No, the reason I need this is because I need to flip my notes, that's all. So.
Use the other one.
Okay. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we wish you a very happy Father's Day this morning. You are always a happy Father. And all of us, Lord, we rejoice in the happiness of our God. Though we as earthly fathers, we have our moments, we have our temper, we have our time where we feel down or out, but our Heavenly Father is always happy. He is always rejoicing. And for that, dear Lord, we welcome this Spirit of God that comes into us to teach us to always know that, Lord, we are secured in the hand of a happy God. We thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, this morning, what I wanted to talk to you, the title of our message, my message this morning is what I call A Peculiar Glory of God in Fatherhood. A Peculiar Glory of God in Fatherhood. I'd like to start my introductions by reading to you a portion of the larger catechism. This is what it says. It says, the scripture manifests themselves to be the word of God by their majesty and purity. By the consent of all the parts, that means every part of the Bible, and the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God. Or to put it in a simple English terms, it says, what it means is that the Bible, properly presented and understood, has this divine purpose, to communicate and to display the glory of God. So what it means is that the Bible that you're holding has got one purpose and one purpose alone, to let you see the glory of God. Yeah? Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Yeah, it is only in the glory of God. When you see the glory of God, your life will be transformed. However, what I want to say some more is that the glory of God, the Bible, does not simply present to you a general sense of the glory of God. What the Bible presented to us is what we call the specific or the peculiar glory of God. Why does it do it that way? The reason the Bible does it that way is because he wants to show you that you have a God that is totally unique. Totally, nobody can compare, nobody can come close to even to stand beside this God. And it is in this peculiar glory that we see the fatherhood of God in our lives. Now, the first things that the Bible presented to us is what I call the fatherhood, the origins of the fatherhood. Do you know that we use the word father all the time? But father, the word father was never invented by human being in the first place, isn't it? Fatherhood was always there before anything else. Before anything else, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is through this union that we start to come, God start to reveal the meaning of fatherhood to us. We know from the Bible that, which means fatherhood actually began in heaven, where God is. It is not an earthly terms. It is not we who invented the word father. God did. Fatherhood began in eternity. That means way before the universe was created, way before you and I ever existed, there was already a father. Can I say here a word of amen? Amen. This is wonderful because why? Because it is God himself that gave us fatherhood, which means The third is that the existence of fatherhood implies there is the existence of a relationship. And this is the uniqueness of our Christian faith, because only in the Christian faith that you see a God, one God, existed in three persons. And it is only in the Christian faith that you see this one God existed in such perfect union, that nobody can separate them. How many God have we got? How many God? It's not a trick question. How many God have we got? We have got one. How many persons in this God? Three persons. And they existed harmoniously beyond our natural imaginations. Nothing you can imagine. Just imagine you are there from the beginning. Then you see this God. Then you see absolute perfections, absolute love, absolute everything that is good about this God. It is there. The peculiar glory of our God shines brightly through this perfect relationship. In the Bible, we read many verses. In the Bible, as I was telling you, the Bible wants to show us this peculiar glory. It started to show us two different places of this perfect union. You know, again, the word Trinity was not in the Bible, but everywhere else in the Bible, it tells us of this perfect union. In 1 John 5:7, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." If you have a King James Version or New King James Version or an Amplified Bible, this verse will be there. If you have another version, this verse will not be there. So my message to you is change your Bible. Yeah? Okay. So John 3, 34 to 35, it says, "For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." And Matthew 3, 16 to 17, when our Lord took upon him the form of a servant, took upon him a human existence and came. This, and during his baptism, this is what we read. He says, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased.'" Just a simple three passage of scriptures here. You see the oneness. Do you see the oneness of this three God? Not three God. Three person in one God. Do you see the perfect love in these three persons in the one God? Yeah? So, mind you, right there and then, again, if we were there in the beginning, I think our understanding of fatherhood, we need to change. Because why? This fatherhood existed in a God that is a spirit. Correct? They were not a physical being. God is a spirit. And we who come to worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So the fatherhood that existed before, the perfection that was existed before, we do need a lot, some time to come and understand it. What God did from the origins of this fatherhood, he did something, shall we say, unthinkable or to our natural minds. What God did was, this perfect union of spiritual role that this three person in the Godhead that they have, he transferred it to a physical realm. That's where he did something that a creative God, only a creative God can do. He created you and I. He created you and I. And ascribe, or I call it the fatherhood imputed, or fatherhood ascribed, or fatherhood transferred. He ascribed this fatherhood of God, this perfect fatherhood, into a physical, natural world that you and I lived in. The Bible here says, Genesis 1:27 to 28 says, "For God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. What a God. What a God. Instead of only existed up there in heaven, now he created us so that he can impute. It's almost like the righteousness of Christ was imputed to us as believers. God in the beginning imputed the fatherhood of God upon us, his handmade creatures. So that what is in the spiritual is represented in the physical, realm. So what we see, out of this God eternal decree comes three things. One is a unique physical makeup. Remember, in the physical, we will never be able to understand what is in the spiritual. But in the physical, God created us male and female. And it is this male and female, that they are so we are so different. Yeah? I'm so different from my wife. Agree? And you are so different from your wife's fathers. And you're so different from your sisters. You're so different from your brothers. We are made so different, and yet we complement each other perfectly. And that can only come from the creation of a perfect father. The second is, we have got a unique union. It is the reason we have got a unique makeup is that we can come together. And God intended it that way. And from a unique union, we have got a unique community. That's where we see our fatherhood displayed in a physical, natural world, in the family that God gave you, and also in the church of the living God that God placed you. You got it? Now, from this decree of God, God made his decree with a purpose, as we have read in Genesis 1. First, it's for multiplications. Multiplications can only occur when there is a God-ordained relationship. Yeah? And second of all, the intentions of the multiplication is to produce pure and righteous seed. And the second is governance, or what, for better words, I call it influence. Influence. The reason is that God wants his pure and righteous seed to influence the world around him, around them, with good works. So that why? So that God will get the glory. Everything that God we do, I pray that we do it God-centeredly. God always gets the glory, not us. Not us. God always gets the glory. And then the third is rulership. Unlike the rulership that we understood here on earth, Jesus in Luke 22, chapter 22, verse 26, he says, the Gentiles exercise lordship over their people, but that must not be with you. How do we exercise rulership? We exercise rulership through servanthood, selfless servanthood. Now, just this alone, again, the Bible shows us a very peculiar glory of this God of ours. Do you know the divinity that others are proclaiming derive their glory by having a lot of people serving them? But we Christians are the only one that has a God who serves us. That is the absolute glory of God shining through. Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve, to serve. That is the God that you have. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. So now, it is here that we see the lives that we live. Just now, in fact, Adrian shared, Brother Donald shared, we are being attacked. Gay marriage is not a style of life. It is attack on the fatherhood of God. The reason it's attack on the fatherhood of God is, if this is happening among us, then there will not be any multiplications. Fatherhood loses its significance. Absolutely finished. finished. That's why we are, as a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come against this. Not simply because it is wrong, but it is an attack on the sovereign Almighty God. Yeah? So now, and then the world is giving us self-glory. We, as Christians, we come against God with what? With God's glory. With God's glory. We are here to tell them not to look at us, but to look at the one who created us. Not to look at what we have done, but what Christ is doing through us. And the last, of course, is the world is governing its people through power, might, and authority. We are governing our people through servanthood. That's what we, fatherhood, is all about. We govern our family at home and in the family, or the bigger context here, by servanthood. We are here to serve. Now, when sin entered into the world, we know the relationship with God is severed. Yeah? Why is the relationship with God severed? The reason is, when sin entered, we die spiritually. We die spiritually. And it is only a quickened spirit that can communicate with Father God in heaven. That is the reason why, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, this is what he says. You are doing the works of your the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I said? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Before we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, our father was the devil. Because why? Because our spirit were dead. We cannot communicate with the Heavenly Father. When the amazing grace come upon us, what the amazing grace do is, it quickens our spirit. Our spirit now becomes alive. And the moment our spirit becomes alive, the communication with Father God in heaven is restored. So you see, salvation, we talk about salvation. Salvation is receiving eternal life. And eternal life is what? It's to know God and the Son whom he sent. Which means salvation is directly related to the restorations of fatherhood of God in our lives. The two terms, salvation and fatherhood of God, run side by side. You cannot have one without the other. You receive salvation, Father God becomes your father. Is that clear? Okay, so this is the second peculiar glory. The first peculiar glory of God in fatherhood is that fatherhood originated in God. Second is that this fatherhood was imputed to us by God himself. We lost it, and God sent his Son to restore it for us. In Galatians 4:4-7, he says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God sends the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, what? Let's shout it out, yeah? Let's shout it out. 1, 2, 3. Abba, Father! You have got the Holy Spirit in you. Surely the Holy Spirit is louder than that, yeah? 1, 2, 3. Abba, Father! Do you feel it's good? As if this vertical line of communications, thank you, the Poe family, I love you. Everywhere I go, I'll take you. This vertical communications between God and us now is restored. It's restored. you have a father again. Doesn't matter whether you are old or young or whatever, you now has a father that is absolutely perfect. Remember back the origins of fatherhood. That is a father that you and I receive today. Amen? So it says here, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We are completely and utterly restored by what our Lord Jesus has done on the cross. Father is recognizable to us again, and we can love him again. Before, when our spirit were dead, we hardly know what this Father is all about. And suddenly, when the amazing grace comes and you receive the Lord Jesus, you can put your hands on your heart and say, thank you, God. I've got a Father. I've got a Father who never failed me, who will never leave me, who will walk with me from this point onwards until the end. Yeah? Romans 8, 15 to 17. I just want to read this again. This passage also. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. One more time. Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. Also take note of one more thing that is beautiful in the two passages of Galatians and even in Romans here. The moment fatherhood of God is restored to us, we see the Trinity of God brightly shining through again. Do you see that? You see that we have got Abba Father in this passage, we have got the Spirit of God, we have got Christ. The moment fatherhood is restored, now you understand Trinity. Now you understand God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Before, when somebody talked to you, you said, this is garbage. This is not right. How can three persons in one God? You will never be able to understand. But when the Holy Spirit comes and amazing grace hits your heart, suddenly this is the most beautiful truth that you have ever known. And we thank the Lord for it. So in conclusions, as we celebrate Father's Day, what are we celebrating? We are celebrating first and concerted affections. I purposely find words difficult. Actually, I didn't know what it meant, actually, but I go into the dictionary and find it is actually concentrated affections. That means what we are trying to do is that we are celebrating, at Father's, we are celebrating a wholehearted gratefulness and love to Christ who reconciled us to our Heavenly Father. When we remember Father's Day, we remember what Christ has done for every single one of us. And the role of the Father, you know what is the main role of the Father? I know, we raise up our children, when they hit 21, we say, what? Freedom, freedom. Yeah, freedom for them and freedom for us, you know. But the actual fact is, what God is intending for us to do is to raise up our children so that they will be letting go of the smaller hands and grab hold of the bigger hands. We are trying to teach our children to hang on to this Almighty Father of theirs in heavenly realm. And also, when your heart is restored to God, then the restorations with all your family members, with all your friends, with even those people around you will come about. Restoration will not happen until our heart affections is drawn back to the Heavenly Father. Yeah. Second, we are celebrating a corporate identity. Corporate identity. Father's Day, we are not celebrating simply for us as fathers. Because why? No family, no father. Yeah? No family, no father. Simple as that. It is as practical as that. The family can be either the spiritual family or your natural families. You need the family of God around you in order to celebrate fatherhood. A successful father means a successful family, and vice versa. You can't have a successful family without a successful father. Yeah? So, wives and children, the father needs you. The father needs you as much as you need the father. Together, this is what I call the corporate identity. So fatherhood is not directed only to those that have got gray hair and wear coats. Yeah, it addressed to all of you who wear skirts and everything else as well. Help your father. Help your father, help your husband to be good fathers. The third is, we have got a common destiny. You know, fatherhood is an ongoing journey. This year, we have got maybe three fathers giving testimonies here. Next year, there will be new fathers that come. Yeah? You're not very excited over this. There'll be new fathers. I'm trying to be prophetic here, yeah? Pastor Mijin say I'm not prophetic. Now I'm very prophetic. Next year, there'll be new fathers. You know, and year after that, there'll be more new fathers. So it is a journey. And mind you, many of our fathers have gone back with the Lord. They have done their job. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. They have gone back. They've gone back to their father, their heavenly father. And what we always say, well, for instance, we hear from Bill Johnson or many preachers, we built on the ceiling that they're already provided. Aren't you excited? Yeah. You know? All these fathers that you see today, one day you pray that they will finish well and they will go back. And then you take up the mantle and you run the race. You run the race. For we know for sure it is because we do not stand on only a natural physical fatherhood. We stand on the fatherhood that comes from heaven. Every one of us are going to finish well. Every one of us will have an impact in the place that God placed you. Amen? Amen. So, along this journey, what do? We continue to show the world the presence of an Almighty God, Almighty Father. We continue to show. And for us as fathers, we continue to exercise our responsibility as God representative on earth to show love to the people, to give guidance, and to point people to the Almighty Father. So happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I